This episode is brought to you ad-free thanks to all of our wonderful patrons. You can get a ton of exclusive content and help us keep the show going by joining at patreon.com/shonenflop. Welcome to this episode of Shonen Flop, where we talk about manga in Shonen Jump that didn't make it big. I'm David.
I'm Jordan.
Next week, we'll be covering Takamagahara. If you'd like to read along with us, just go find it in the Discord.
Just so you're not confused, listener.
Yeah, you can talk with us on the Discord. Find a link in our description or our website, shonenflop.com. But this week, we are talking about Martial Master Asumi. Oh, man, already not fucking up the title.
Yeah.
And we are joined by our guest, Brody. Brody, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hell yeah.
Brody, it was a total blast to be on your show. Do you mind telling the audience a little bit about yourself?
Oh, thanks, y'all. Yeah, you were back on. Been probably my cringe days, but I pretty much just interview people about whatever they're a fan of, from socks to TikTok, whatever it is. If you're a fan of it, I want to talk to you about it. I've had David on for Shonen, and Jordan came to talk Heavy Metal, which will be the next one released, probably next week.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah, other than that, that's pretty much what I do. I got a few other podcasts coming down the pipeline as well, but yeah, that's gist of it.
Hell yeah,
that's awesome. All right, well, you know what else is awesome? Hearing about this manga. So Jordan, shall we dive in?
Yes, let's do it.
Tell us about it.
So this is Martial Master Asumi. By the way, I realized after I finished it, Martial Master Asumi, MMA. Okay,
I'm just realizing that now.
I thought it was obvious, but now I just sound like an asshole by saying that.
This was written by Kawada, one name, you know, David.
We actually did some Digimax V, and this is actually Zendaya's pending.
We made that joke on the chibi. Thank you.
Fine. You're right. We did some research, and it's actually Cher's pen name.
It's Oprah, of course.
God, yeah.
Notable people they were an assistant for was Ryo Hoshino on Nisawi, tilde, all capitals, those days, tilde, and Tadatoshi Fujimaki of Robot Laser Beam. David, I have to do this. Do not stop me. Brody, what is Robot Laser Beam about?
Oh, it's an autistic golfer, man.
Whoa! All right, you listen to the show!
I do! big time fan.
Oh, man! I can't believe... Okay, fine. Also, Kuroko's Basketball. That's what he's famous for. Other works include Hinamaru Sumo, 2014-2019, 28 volumes, Shonen Jump. Sounds much more successful than this. The most popular, very small handful of sumo manga in Weekly Shonen Jump's history, despite the fact that it is extremely popular in Japan, as well as it being its national sport. Not a huge seller, but enjoyed a significant amount of color pages, like once every 10 chapters roughly. That's pretty rare. It got 3 light novels and an anime adaptation, so that we have a rule on Shonen Flop: if it got an anime adaptation, it is not a flop, no matter the quality, no matter how long it ran. If it got an anime, it is a success.
Unless it was Level E or Bao. That was only because their offer later became a hit.
Yeah, I mean, when did Bao get the...
Definitely wasn't when it was contemporary.
Yeah, it was definitely after JoJo. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Martial Master Asumi. And this ran from June 19th, 2023 to February 12th, 2024.
Rest in peace.
Apparently, it didn't really replace anything because its spot had been occupied by a bunch of one-shots beforehand. It's kind of unclear what series would have counted. The series that replaced it, though, is Dear Anemone by Rin Matsui, which is still going. And the series that started at the same time as it, David, is Icehead Gill.
Oh,
that's
fun.
Episode 92. You want to listen to that? Listen to the episode, don't read the manga. I mean, the manga is like, okay.
Shit manga. Great episode cover art.
It's bad, but it's not. It won't kill you.
Yeah.
Martial Master SME ran for 32 chapters, 4 volumes. Let's get into the plot of that fucking manga.
Let's do it.
Nito Asumi is a high schooler whose grandpa has dementia. The only time he's lucid is when he's teaching Nico sick kung fu moves while confusing him for his older brother Kazuro. At school, Nito is bullied relentlessly, and his friend Yuya says he wants to do MMA so he can fight them off. Nito meets Nao, who he immediately develops a crush on, because she wears glasses, and David, that's his fetish.
There was a lot of thinly hidden, thinly veiled fetishes in this manga.
Oh, yeah.
Look, judging by Baki, which is the best fighting manga, if you don't got fetishes in your fucking fighting, then what the fuck are you doing? This manga is significantly less fetishy than Baki, I will say. Her father also runs the MMA gym where Yuya is planning to go. Mito is dragged there before deciding it's not for him. He just wants to take care of his grandpa instead, but as he leaves, he's ambushed by his bullies. Mito then goes fucking crazy mode and wrecks their goddamn asses, Popcorn David.
Nao sees this happen and demands he join her MMA gym. Soon we find out that Nito's older brother, Kazuro, is Kaz Low, a famous MMA fighter who is also a douchebag. Nito hates his brother for abandoning their family, and also probably because Kazuro does some pretty shitty things where I think, unironically, he pays homeless people to let him beat them up.
You think? I wouldn't be surprised if he did that.
Yes, you know. So Kazuro beats the shit out of Nito in an impromptu MMA match and tells him to go pro so they can fight each other again. The fight was filmed and put on YouTube where it goes viral. Nao then wins a tournament, allowing her to join a professional promotion. Nito follows up by joining an underground tournament. If Nito wins 3 matches, then he can go pro, and he easily wins the first 2. The final match is against Taiga, an orphan turned fighter from a really shitty and poor gym who pulled himself up from his bootstraps.
Yeah.
Nito defeats him by blacking out and going crazy mode on his ass, or sicko mode, as one might say. This makes Nito officially a pro fighter. Popcorn Brody.
Turns out that Nao wants to go pro so she can fight Okome, a prodigy who previously insulted her club and beat the shit out of her in a fight. Nao first has to fight a rich girl who used to be a fencer. She wins and tells Okome she's coming after her, who flips her all.
I had to read it twice to realize that what was happening was Okome absolutely flipped her off, but like they couldn't show that in Shonen Jump, so they just kind of cut off the panel right there. I thought that was kind of cute.
Whoops. Can't show that in a Christian manga.
Yep.
Next, Nito meets a guy at his grandpa's adult daycare who's an MMA fighter getting ready for what may be his last fight, which is actually against Nito. Gas! Then Kazuro tells him to win a tournament so they can fight. Flash forward a year, and Nito has won the tournament. The manga ends as he steps into the ring with his older brother, giving us all the biggest blue balls.
Yeah.
Who would have been surprised?
It ends like Rocky 2.
It totally does.
Which ends with basically a mural of Rocky, or I think it's Rocky 3, that ends with a mural of Rocky and Apollo Creed punching each other at the exact same time.
See, I can picture exactly what you're talking about, but I couldn't tell you which one it was from.
I think it's 3.
I think you might be right.
And he's actually been here the whole time. And
whoa,
just that mural says like 1925 in it.
Yo!
All right. And so, Brody, would you mind telling us about the main character?
Our main character is Nito Asumi, which, weirdly enough, you guys picked a main character I really related to. I did karate as a kid, and I quit the day I made a kid cry. So at first, him being good at fighting but not liking to do it was relatable. It wasn't until I learned like high school wrestling where I actually got into like any kind of physical sports. But just like now, or Nito, I was kind of a scary babby. Didn't like to fight, but when I got mad, I was a little bit scary until I learned to get those anger issues under control.
So you also blacked out and went Senko mode?
Pretty much. Broke a kid's leg in 7th grade by accident, actually, whole femur.
God damn.
Yeah.
That was intense with the grandpa where he was like, you tried to kill me, I'll let you live, but I'm breaking one of your legs as punishment for that.
Yup.
God, we'll talk about grandpa, but that fucking crazy. But yeah, he does a stereotypical thing in Shonen where he gets a special move and the author can't really think of other special moves, so he just spams it constantly.
Yup, that flying knee.
He has the water hammer.
Oh, you're right. I forgot. He used this flying knee a lot in those early fights once he unlocked it.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, in real MMA, it's not a very effective move.
But it looks cool.
It does look cool.
Well, he was fighting against people who were really shitty at MMA for his first couple matches, who didn't understand what the fuck was going on.
And like we brushed on earlier, he's got a bit of a glasses fetish, which I think might stem from some daddy issues.
Yeah, because his dad had glasses. I love how his dad is just like his grandpa's a super serious fighter and his dad's just like, yeah, I do this for exercise.
Yeah. Keeps me sharp. Yeah. Is there more to say, or shall we move on to the glasses lady?
He says he wants to be a nurse, but it's really just because he wants to take care of his grandpa.
Very nice.
It's nice, but it's also, like, kind of self-sacrificey.
Yes.
That was an element I thought was interesting, but I don't think they really brought it back up after the first 2 chapters. But
yeah.
Jordan, though, do you, or actually, I'll talk about Nao. So the next character, though, I want to talk about is Nao Kiba. She is the legally required female protagonist in all sports manga, though I will say the series definitely gives her more time than I think he was court mandated to do so, which was nice.
She was pretty cool, honestly. Like, she was, like, legitimately very strong. They gave her, like, opportunities to, like, really fight.
She has, like, a multi-chapter fight.
Yeah.
It's like unironically one of the longest fights in the series, I think. But she's definitely like a goblin mode. But I think we talked about this. I really don't like her design. I think those like her teeth just seem so cartoonish that it just feels like she just stands out. And there's just somewhere I'm like, I really wish you had redrawn this person's face.
So her teeth made me think he didn't know they wore mouth guards in MMA until the scene where someone's mouth guard falls out onto the mat and it's there between their legs. And I'm like, but every time she smiles in the ring, you see her shark teeth.
I didn't even notice the mouth guard. That didn't even occur to me, but you're right. Like,
in her fight, her opponent is drawn with a mouth guard and she isn't. It's just so weird. I don't understand why the author gave her super weird teeth like this.
Well, it's cute fangs.
No, but no, she has shark teeth. All her teeth are like that.
She does have shark teeth.
Yup. So it's not even like a comedic thing. She just, her normal state is having shark teeth, which is really weird.
I think in some ways it kind of fits her character because like during the fight, she's like, I will devour you. I will devour you. I will use you to make myself stronger. I will eat you. Yeah, I think you're right, David. There are some fetishes in here.
Yeah, I told you. It's not subtle, man. And then, Jordan, do you want to tell us about Grandpa?
Oh, man. So Grandpa is this former, like, martial arts master. It seems like he was, like, an assassin.
He definitely killed people.
Grandpa has bodies.
Well, he actually explicitly says that, like, if I was younger, I would have just killed you.
Yep.
He explicitly did not do this for sport. So he has his own special fighting style that was, like, cobbled together with, like, a bunch of things like, you know, jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, or whatever the hell that is. BJJ, yeah. And, like, some other stuff. And he talks about how, well, in my martial arts, you're actually always just supposed to kill people, actually. Just go for the eyes and the crotch all the fucking time. Like,
imagine if this had taken off and they made like a prequel manga about him.
That'd be cool, actually.
God, that's what they should have made instead. It's actually that's just Sakamoto days. But yeah, he's badass.
I feel like it's Baki.
What if he is Baki?
Oh my god,
he's lost some mass, but
this is what happened to Baki Hanma. Yeah,
we already know what Jordan's recommendation is gonna be.
Of course it is.
But I dare you not to recommend Baki. You're going to have to think about it.
I have another one going because I figured Baki would be too obvious, actually. But just no listener, side recommendation anyway, Baki.
But yeah, and then he has dementia, which is just I feel like if he's just saying it's a forgotten plot point.
Oh, God, David.
But it totally is.
Kind of comes back into play.
It kind of comes back. I thought it was really funny how they go to how like Nito goes to like his grandfather's adult daycare and like all the old women are like into him.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was so thrown off by old people daycare. Like, is that an actual thing? Because like here we have old folks homes, but like I've never heard of an old folks daycare. And I was a personal support worker. I worked with old people.
I mean, keep in mind, this is Japan.
True.
So they might have that in Japan. Another thing is like a character similar to that. A character is in an orphanage. And I was like, do they have orphanages in Japan? Because for those who don't know, in America, the orphanages are kind of not a thing anymore. We have the foster system.
Same.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Yeah, I think like in most of the Western world that is the case, but like they do have orphanages in Japan, and it would make sense that they had adult daycares. Adult daycares seem like not a bad idea, actually.
But there's such an aging population.
Yeah, but it's also just like you can stay with your family, but also go to this place where you can get looked after for like a significant part of the day.
I will say, by the way, we have one last character, so shall we dive into—
Let's do it, this fucking asshole.
There's Kazuro, the oldest brother. He's hot-headed. He definitely has that the weak should fear the strong mentality. Which, fuck, what is that from? Is that from, I think it's from Undertale. Like a fan comic about Undertale.
Yeah.
I still stand by, I genuinely think he pays homeless people to
like. Right? Like, he's not paying bums to fight. He's paying bums to fight him.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be clear, listener, this is not in the manga. This is David's headcanon.
He is like, I'll give you money if you can beat me up to a fight to like the semi-homeless guy.
Does he?
Yeah, that's how he gets his protege.
Oh, yeah.
Was literally like a guy off the street he beat up.
I don't think that guy was homeless.
Oh, I thought they were gang members. Yeah, I thought they were supposed to be like wannabe gangsters.
The guy was like, he has no money. I don't know.
I don't know. But he gets into a street fight with a guy and gets his ass kicked. And the guy's like, hey, man, you should do MMA.
Yeah.
No, because the guy gives him like a card to a that would get him into a gym. I don't think that guy was homeless, David.
There was the actually homeless guy who lived at the gym, but I know that was a different dude.
That dude was like different. Yeah, he was just like a delinquent who it sort of implied might have been gay.
I'm not sure.
Anyway.
Let's get into why I failed. Speaking of my failed attempt to create headcanon for this series. I think this is a rarity. I start why it failed, but I want to say this art style, there were definitely times it worked, but overall I feel at a base level it just didn't feel right for what the series was kind of trying to do. I feel like a lot of do retries lingering in my brain, which was definitely worse than this. It's like this didn't feel like the right art style for the seriousness of these fights.
I kind of disagree.
Me too.
But like, yeah, I think it's very cruel to compare this to Do Retry. This is so much better.
This is way better than Do Retry.
So much better. Oh my God. Now, one of my issues with this is that like a lot of the time, rather than having like a lot of like plots and stuff, they try and like push things forward with like montages almost.
Yeah. And they have a lot of time skips.
Yeah.
They do. Yeah. Which, like, I understand, like, on a construction level, kind of, but, like, yeah.
I didn't feel it too jarring because with combat sports, there is a lot of downtime and stuff. Yeah. You only have a couple fights in a year, usually. So that month skip is kind of like a week of that is guaranteed is recovery time. 3 weeks is probably just him training. But I did feel like we could have gotten a bit more of his personal life in between those parts, maybe.
Yeah, they could have very easily inserted this character writing, which I really was excited about in the first chapter, that fell apart.
I would have liked to see more buildup. Mm-hmm. Like, famously, like, in a lot of boxing matches, like, I know Muhammad Ali would do this, where it's like he would basically harass the other boxer for, like, a month before they fought because it was all about getting into the head of his enemy, basically.
Yep.
Like, I would have liked to see something like that. Because, like, in a fight, like, a lot of the tactics outside of the ring affect in the ring performance, too.
He used to say the fight doesn't start when the bell rings. It starts the minute your opponent's announced.
Yeah.
I still love the guy who gives flowers to his opponents before each fight.
I don't know who that is.
There's an MMA fighter who does that.
That's awesome.
I think he's lost every fight where the person took the flowers.
if you refuse the flowers, then it unlocks his angry side.
That's true. Yeah. And then to get back, speaking of MMA fighting, I think just the older brother being the villain, like, why did it take so long to establish any sort of actual plot? And it's so cliche to have, I mean, evil, I guess, is the wrong word, but like to have like an antagonistic older, like this is fucking the plot of Naruto.
Is Naruto's older brother?
No, Sasuke's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's literally Sasuke saying, you're not strong enough to defeat me. Get stronger.
I mean, by virtue of this being about sports and like being more grounded, Kazuro's not really evil. He's just kind of a dick.
Well, I mean, given the sense of the series, no one is actually evil. But like,
he seemed to be like really happy when Nito won, like really happy. So I don't know. I found those moments kind of sweet. But also, one of the things that's mentioned and brought up, which on one level is interesting, is that like everybody that Nito fights has a better reason to fight than he does. It's a source where Nito feels bad about it, which, you know, is legitimately interesting because it gets into like, well, these people want to fight, and they want like a good fight. You know, it would be like disrespectful to go easy on them, but also the end result is that, as I said, everybody has a better reason to fight than Nito.
Yeah.
Like a better story.
Yeah. Also, can we talk about Nito having like a super mode is so fucking stupid. Like, just let the man fight. Like, you don't need this like unlocking killing intent Metal Gear Rising shit.
I actually kind of liked that. It
really.
So again, throwback to my personal life. But yeah, I kind of related to that because when I played football growing up, I could not tell you 90% of the rules to football, but I was apparently amazing at it. But once I heard hut, I'd black out.
Really?
Yeah. And I'd wake up on top of the guy with the ball, and I was
holy
like
shit.
What the fuck, and everybody thought I was an amazing football player, but I don't know 90% of the fucking rules to football.
God damn,
that's hilarious.
Holy shit, Brody. You okay, man? Also, I do have to talk about the dialogue, which this manga contains a line that is the funniest possible line you could put into an MMA manga, which is,
what is it?
A character says, he's truly mixing his martial arts.
Yes.
Thank you, Speedwagon.
I was like, God. Yeah.
Is that a negative?
I don't know if it's a negative.
I'm just saying that's the section we're in, brother man.
I think it is a negative because that's not good writing.
Like, no, I mean, the writing, like, it barely explains a lot of the MMA concepts. I learned very little about the sport functions.
I don't know. I mean, we'll get into it. You want to get into the...
No, we got more to talk about in the negatives. Why?
Because I like this
one. Oh, fuck off. Brody, though, is there any last thing you think is like an issue that you had with the series?
The whole beat me at the top mentality, like in actuality, it's like, if you want to fight your brother, why aren't you just fighting your brother? Like, I get it.
Well, he did fight him and then he beat his ass.
Yeah. And I don't understand why he wanted a second match. Like, he proved himself.
It is kind of silly how it's like, I'm going to beat you so you call my grandpa. And then it turns out, oh, he was going to do that anyway. So it is kind of like.
What was the point?
Well, what's the point here? What are we doing here? And then
I mean, this series never really gives us a purpose. It's like 8 chapters in before there's actually a reason why he's doing MMA besides just trying to because a girl told him to.
I feel like they were kind of flip-floppy on whether Kazuro was supposed to be this complete total asshole or whether we were supposed to feel something for him.
I don't know.
I think that's a good way to put it. It's like flip-floppy because, like, on one hand, Kazuro is sometimes, like, depicted as, like, this douchebag, and that's kind of implied he's pretending to be a douchebag to make Nito better.
Yeah.
And then other times, it's like, nah, he's actually a douchebag.
So just the plot of Naruto all over again with Itachi.
It's also kind of the plot of Baki, except, no, Yujiro is actually a horrible, horrible human being, but, like, he also kind of wants Baki to get better. Read Baki. Baki's great.
God, Baki. All right. And then speaking of things that are great, we can get into what it did well. So Brody, as someone who's also great, can you tell us what are some things you liked about the series?
The art is pretty solid. There were actually backgrounds in it, which was really nice to see. I've read a lot of manga where it's just plain white.
Yeah, I actually did like the art. Like, I could pretty much always tell what was happening, which is very difficult in a manga like this, where characters are, like, wrapped up in each other. Like, this is not easy to do. The anatomy was, like, usually pretty on point. I feel like I could really follow these matches, and they were talking about, like, strategy in there that kind of, for the most part, made sense. I disagree with David on the art. I think it really worked.
Agree to disagree.
I mean, you know, maybe it was sometimes hard to tell Kazuro apart from Nito. I will give you
that. I'll give it that.
Yeah.
But like the actual fighting, I felt worked really well. I actually really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I find personally I have a lot of trouble with a lot of mangas with the action and the movement and following along with what's actually going on unless I sit there and stare at it. But like the first time going through, like when I was more reading, like I didn't have to sit there and focus on the art to know what was going on. Once I did stop and linger on it, I loved what I was looking at, but you could tell exactly what the author was trying to get across.
I also like, just as I think we talked about, the series actually had a lot of respect for the female fighters.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
At the start kind of skipped over, but then they really like the women, authors fetish aside, the women were not objectified that much. Like they were wearing realistic MMA clothing. I really do think that fight against the fencing lady really was a highlight of the series, where it really felt like an MMA fight, but it had some interesting elements that still made me feel like I was reading a manga instead of just a drawn version of a fight.
Can I just also point out, like, this manga had women with different body types.
Yeah.
Like that itself is shocking in manga. You know, you have the joke about how Oda has two body types, hot and ugly. And like, I agree with David. I don't feel like the women in this are overly sexualized, like at all.
What MMA fighting women probably look like.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, they're usually jacked for one thing, which makes total sense.
The author definitely loves women with six packs, though.
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah. I was pretty surprised to actually see muscly women.
David, not every instance of powerful women is a fetish.
Okay, buddy.
Also, like, kind of an example of that, there is a the one kind of, like, princess fencing character who has this butler who was into MMA, and she's like, one man truly inspired me to go into fighting, and it's like, it's build up, it's like, yeah, she's gonna say the butler, and she's like, this one man, Bruce Lee.
That killed me.
I loved that. It was like, yeah. Oh, that was so good. It's like, yeah, fuck yeah. You know what? Hell yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the characters are really interesting. And I also love how it's not afraid to use dementia as an actual plot device and how it actually is kind of woven into the fabric of this fear of you just doing the same things over and over and wasting your life. Much like how dementia is just kind of living your days, but not even remembering what you're experiencing. And that's just, that was a very creative plot choice that is like, you know, like, yes, we did just read in our manga about that. But besides that, I can't think of a shonen series that really uses dementia in such an interesting way.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, where it's like he gets lucid when he does something that really is meaningful to him, which is, I think, kind of realistic.
It is.
There are a lot of instances where if you play music that somebody with dementia likes, it makes them kind of come back to reality for a little bit.
So I've actually worked in old folks' homes and stuff, and it's true. We do a lot of things where, like, you find out things about, like, what patients like to do in their younger years, and you'll see people with dementia and stuff completely, like, if there's music on that was around when they were younger, they can snap right back to lucidity, and it's crazy.
That's amazing. One other thing I liked about this was how it was, like, realistic about the money in MMA.
Yeah.
Nobody here was fighting to get rich. Like, one of the few people that Nito fights in this, you know, because it was so short, worked at the old folks' home, or I guess the adult daycare where his grandpa went. And he was talking about how, like, yeah, honestly, this pays better than MMA, but I just really like doing MMA.
Yeah, brothers, like, very few pros are actually pros.
My college professor was an MMA fighter on the side.
That's so cool.
He told me he would have just done MMA if it could have paid the bills, but he was also a paramedic and all this other crazy shit.
Whoa. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Imagine if he had stayed in MMA, so you think of where this series could have gone, so shall we move into that?
Uh-huh.
So, Jordan, what are some things that you would have tweaked about this series?
I mean, as I mentioned earlier, just, like, go into more of a psychological thing, like, where it really, like, built up the next fight. I would really like to see that. I felt like it was going to go there, but, like, you know, you can't tell. You don't know for sure because you don't know how the author would have done the next few.
Yeah.
Fights. But I also, I mean, it seemed pretty clear that it was about to go on a year-long tournament arc. I mean, it basically said that.
Yeah, it did.
So I guess one of the main place it was going to go was just show you the things it time skipped over.
God, Jordan really loved this series.
I kind of liked it.
I did too.
I wanted more.
I feel like they had plans for the best friend too that kind of got...
The best friend just disappears.
Well, like, they bring in that subplot with him having a girlfriend and then she gets dumped.
She's like, I prefer basketball.
He, like, goes into this whole tangent about how excited he is for MMA and she's like, wait, you're not on the basketball team anymore? Bye!
Oh, yep. And then, like, that just went nowhere though. Like, they didn't do anything with it. Really, other than, wow, he got dumped and he's being so supportive of me. What a great friend.
The series really had trouble keeping the characters relevant, which is what I really wish it had built on, because just such a character-driven sports manga is a great way of making you care about the sports part by really caring about the characters. Like, for instance, Eyeshield 21 is surprisingly very character-driven when you're not actually looking at the football aspect. So it really manages to get both. And one thing is, I feel like it would have been cool to have seen, because they had it with the fencer woman and how she used to be a fencer and she brought fencing techniques into his fight. What if we saw more of that, where the characters are living their life doing things that maybe are not explicitly MMA based, but you see how that brings it into the ring, because MMA really is, you take anything you know with you, because it's just, it's mixed martial arts. You can bring any techniques. There could be
you're mixing your martial arts.
Whoa, I read that line in the manga. Crazy. But yeah, I just think it would have been so cool to have given you a really great reason to have the characters do things that aren't just pure MMA fighting, because you can bring it into the next fight, you know?
It's complicated because, like, on one hand, I think that would have been interesting, but it's also like this manga does try and have it multiple ways because it's trying to be realistic, but also, like, has a couple characters that are, like, kind of silly. So it's like...
Like the shark teeth.
The shark teeth, but also, like, the delinquent guy who's fought, like, a ton of people and wants to have conversations with his fists.
My man Mito guy? Nito guy? Huh? The guy who's like, my man Nito!
Oh, that other guy. There's just like multiple delinquent guys.
Because I loved the my man Nito guy.
No, I like that guy too.
Yeah, there's a lot of character concepts there. There's also the fact that his siblings have zero relevance to the series except for his older brother.
Right?
Yeah.
So it would have been fun if they were relevant.
He's got like five siblings.
Yep, there's just sister who takes care of grandpa when he's busy. Yeah. Overworked mom.
His brother and sister who are always on social media.
Yes, I forgot about them completely.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. It's like, it's just like there was this family story I really wanted to see more of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they wanted more dementia.
Dylan, take that out of context.
If only there was a podcast about that.
I'd almost forgotten Grandpa had dementia until he forgot the book.
Oh, God. But yeah, does anyone have any other places where they feel the series could have gone?
I thought that more was going to be done with Grandpa's health. Like, yeah. They kind of alluded, we don't have much time because Grandpa might die. I feel like Grandpa was going to die, like, right before their fight. Right yeah. Before Nito and Kazla's fight. I feel like that made the most sense.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, his health seems to be fine throughout most of the series, relatively speaking, of course.
I mean, he's an old man who can do crazy kung fu moves, so yeah, his health seems to be all right, honestly.
Oh, God. All right, so shall we go into miscellaneous thoughts? I didn't really have a lot of thoughts. I do wonder if tag MMA is a thing, because I just feel that would be really silly and fun. Yeah, that was about it.
I really don't think it is. I used to watch a lot of UFC, but...
Nah.
As soon as I seen that in the notes, I was like, damn, why is that not a thing?
Right?
I think it would be like too dangerous, sort of. Like, the thing about MMA is obviously it's not wrestling. You can do, I mean, pro wrestling, because obviously there's wrestling in MMA, blah, blah, blah. But you can do goofy things like that in pro wrestling because it's scripted. But in MMA, like some MMA fights last literally 3 seconds. Because
yeah.
It turns out if you actually get punched in the right place at the right time, you're just out. It doesn't matter who you are.
Didn't Ronda Rousey get like knocked down in the first like 15 seconds of a fight once?
Yep.
Yeah, it's just like if you get hit in the jaw in the right place, you're done. Sorry, you're out. Like they showed him in this manga just kneeing a guy in the face and he was done. And that happens.
It's like, oof, that's rough, buddy.
Yeah, so it's like adding in goofy or special conditions to a fight, I feel like isn't really something you can do when the fight itself is already this dangerous. It's like we're going to add in additional complications. I feel like that.
It could be a 3-on-3, and then if one guy gets an early knockout, it just turns into a team match.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
Like David. Best of three.
Oh, my God. You want to talk about danger. Now we have two guys beating up one guy.
No, I'm talking about you do 3 1-on-1 fights, and then it's based on whichever team wins the two out of wins the most matches.
Is there still three guys in a ring? What's happening?
No, it's just three individual fights, but it's teams, so whichever team wins the most fights.
Okay.
Yeah, doesn't sound fun. That sounds fun, right?
I guess.
I want to see a shonen manga about tag team fighting, though. It's just such a stupid, it's such a fun idea.
It's called Kanikuman, David.
Besides that, a non-wrestling manga about tag team. That was really all I had, though. Do you guys have any other miscellaneous thoughts?
I will never forget he's truly mixing his martial arts.
Fuck off, Jordan.
I'm going to be thinking about that forever, because what an amazing line.
I almost fried a work computer when that line came up. I was at my job, just downtime, reading some manga, took a drink of coffee, and the mixing the martial arts line, I almost destroyed a work keyboard, and it would have been hard to explain why I was reading manga at work.
And then let me read some of Maxie B's wonderful thoughts. Big thank you to Maxie B. Kawada is obviously a pen name, and savvy pro wrestling fans would have already guessed this is a tribute to Toshikawa Kawada, the best match machine, one of the four pillars of heaven, quite possibly the greatest professional wrestler of all time.
For those wondering, it is in fact Toshiaki Kawada.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Toshiaki. The fake MMA organization shown in Chapter 9 has real-world equivalents. Here's two identified. Shugeki's real-world equivalent is Shoto, founded by Tiger Mask, well, the first one,
yeah.
In 1985. And Cross Impact's real-world equivalent is Henkrase, founded by wrestling legends Minoru Suzuki and Masakatsu Funaki in 1993. Should watch some old Pancreas. It's really good.
Pancreas? Some old
Pancreas?
Yeah, Pancreas.
Pancrase, or what? I don't even know how it's said.
I think it comes from pancration, which is like...
Sure. I want you to eat my pancrase.
It's the Greek fighting style.
Of being naked while fighting.
Yes.
You know, a glasses fetish doesn't have a traditional Latin name, but Maxi B says people with too much time on their one free hand have called themselves spectophiles. Yes, the Kid Tiger Mask is a reference to Tiger Mask, the wrestling persona in the manga that inspired it. A knockout with flying knee in under 10 seconds will be familiar to any fans of Jorge Masvidal, who knocked out Ben Askren in 5 seconds with one. So that's your quick knockout, Jordan.
You know something? It's funny. They mention at one point when Taiga wears a tiger mask, the referee is like, I just feel like orphanages and tiger masks kind of go together. And I assume this is like from the manga slash real life person or whatever where that comes from. But also that happened in Tekken with King, who I feel like is also probably a reference to tiger mask now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, the Dropout 70 kilogram and under championship belt is literally the WWE Hardcore Championship. The Flaming Eye Effect is a visual motif brought over from Kawada's debut series, Hinamaru Sumo. And at the time of this recording, the final volume has not come out yet, but you should check out the Discord where Maxi B is going to post some fun details that are revealed in that one. We also had a very last minute fun fact thrown into us in the Discord. Generic Man said that Kawada's previous series got an interesting choice of borrowed English for its anime opening, so people should go check that out. They posted a link in the Discord, and I'm sure it's quite ridiculous. But yeah, and then shall we get into final verdict?
You know what? I never did get to mention that little theory I had on why Kazuro is so freaking nuts.
Oh, what is your theory? Tell us about it.
I think Dad died in a mugging.
Ooh, that's a good theory.
I think he's seen Grandpa kick ass, and I think Dad did not die naturally.
But that's just a theory.
A manga theory!
A manga, baby. That's a fun one. All right, let's get into final verdict. Yeah. From Tucker, turns out violence is the answer. Maxi B, pro wrestling next time, please, Kawada-sensei, or a paladin, found its footing far too late. Blasphosaurus, the third best canceled series I've read. Blamumu, tragically, feet couldn't save this one. Yeah, there's a bit of a foot shot in the Volume 2 cover that was actually the icon when I had the series downloaded and people were asking about it. Chicken Warlord says sibling showdown tragically taps out early. Dackerson, Shonen Jump knocks out another fighter. Diego, the King of Fighters could never. DLT, the title is MMA. Get it? Ah, oh, whoa, I never thought about that. Dude Rock says, brothers want to punch each other. Generic Man, imagine if this turned into Ranma. Glornak says, this martial master retired too early. Gray Potter says, TKO, Victor, Shonen Jump sports curse. Isekai Sensei, she served strong superb suplexes swiftly. Oh, that was super badass when she did a German suplex during the fight.
Yeah, oh, they kicked ass.
I didn't know that was legal in MMA.
Yeah, that was so cool.
That was probably the best fight in the series, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Kermit the Grog, Tank Teens tussle to take title. Captain Clueless, a new flop enters the ring, much like how a new six-word summary reader enters the ring.
Last the Red Rose, Jump says no to girls fighting. Loser, great technique, but lacking knockout power. Luffy, 0-3-2-1, boy grapples with his family's trauma. Meru, commissions open. MMA without heel is bad MMA. Portal Man, finding romance in mixed martial arts. Red Blade, timid tactician grapples with familial heel. Resident Warhammer nerd punching down is in bad taste. Riel, how many concussions does Asumi have? Riley, making me angry. Martial manga axed. S. Bubby, why doesn't Japan like muscle girls? Scott, Shonen Jump declares their complete cowardice. Spike, round begin. Series end. Lights out. Saint Digeezy, the evil sleepy AI. A near knockout loses the technical. Laughing Fool, Dante and Virgil as MMA fighters. The Wolf, The Wood, The Trafalgar. ... 8, 9, 10, and it's out. Watchtower, ah, one of my favorite prog thrash bands. Fighters promising career tragically cut short. Gold Jedi 64, slow start equals one hit KO. Leet, wow, that's an old, damn.
That's also a 7th word. And shout out to them for sending it via an email instead of posting in the Discord. Absolute Chad. And speaking of Absolute Chad, Jordan, what was yours?
What if Baki was less insane?
And what's your one?
These are Caslow's hierarchy of needs.
Of knees.
Oh my God. Fuck.
That's my 6-word summary now.
That's so much better.
You have to put from David with David assistance.
Tag team with David.
Yeah, that's a tag team 6-word summary. Brody, what's your 6-word summary?
Take him to the mat, Nito.
I love it.
Nice.
And then Jordan wrote it in the wrong set, but that's okay. And then mine was, oh, brother, where art thou plot?
Hey.
I was talking in the Discord about, imagine if the Coen brothers made a sci-fi movie about time travel called Oh Brother, When Art Thou? Just honestly want to see Coen brothers make like a high, like a sci-fi movie now.
Right?
You'd think they would have done that.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess now it's time for flop or not. Brody, why don't you start things off? Do you think the series is a flop or not?
I do not. I was hooked.
Left or right hook.
I feel you. I feel you.
Oh, I think it was a double whammy. I was knocked out. Till the end. I swiped past the last panel, I was so caught off guard. I was like, time for the fight. And then I looked down at the bottom and realized it was the last page.
Oh. Jordan, you've already said you love this series.
Well, I feel like this wasn't a knockout. I feel like it's a decision, like a split decision. There's a lot of flaws with this series.
This series really hit a low point at times.
I really wanted it to keep going. But I think part of that is just because I wanted more of this kind of manga. Like, this is not the best version of this manga, but it is a kind of manga that I would really like to read more of. So,
You know, the author has an extremely successful series you can go read after this.
I guess.
I'm just saying.
Fuck it, not a flop. I wish it kept going.
Yeah, I never thought it was a certified flop, but I do think that final fight, that women's fight, really was something excellent. Yeah. And it kind of makes me feel like it's actually almost kind of worth reading it to really see like what is a very well done 3-chapter fight, especially one between two women that doesn't sexualize them at all. So you know what? Fuck it. I'll say this isn't a flop.
Hell yeah! Woo!
Brody, I feel like you were about to say something.
Yeah, no, I've never been as invested in a side character's like motivations as I was with now.
He should have just made the manga about her, actually. Women's MMA probably would have been a really fun topic.
Sadly, it's shonen.
I mean, there's literally a shonen series that's about Rakugo that has a female protagonist.
That's fair. Yeah. No, but I mean, maybe I think that would have been pretty good, probably better. I agree. But yeah, judging from how that fight was probably the best in the series, it felt like it was getting better as the series went on, which is part of the reason why I was so upset when it got canceled. Like, no, it's getting there. It's finally getting there.
I know.
Yeah.
So that means we've got no recommendations. So Jordan, is this better than Chainsaw Man?
No, it's not.
No, it's definitely not. Brody, do you read Chainsaw Man?
You guys turned me on to it, actually.
Hell yeah. I almost said Trainsaw Man.
Huh? I had heard about it everywhere and, like, obviously being in the anime manga communities. And then I had just put it off until I think it was when I talked to David on my podcast that I was like, okay, I'm gonna bite the nail because these guys won't shut the fuck up about Chainsaw Man.
We will not shut the fuck up about Chainsaw Man, and we never will.
Nope, absolutely not. That's our promise.
Yes.
All right, and that's my promise, though, is that we need to go to wrap-off.
Wrap-off! Marshall Mathers! Asumi!
I'm Bricko mode.
Oh, God.
All right, so let's get into wrap-up. Brody, I want to say thank you so much for joining us today. Where can our listeners find all of the great things you do?
Most podcast platforms. I'm not on YouTube yet, but Spotify, Apple, pretty much everywhere else. You can find Fandoms with Brody Otway. I've also got a couple other podcasts coming up the pipeline. One's called Hey Anime, where basically people just recommend me an anime. I watch it, and then we shoot the shit about it. And other than that, I'm on Facebook. Twitter or X, I guess, kind of Instagram, I guess, and we got a Discord as well.
Oh, that's awesome. I also say props to Jordan for making the opening and ending theme, being a great co-host and helping with the editing.
Thank you, David, for everything that you do.
I want to say props to Mer Lyle for the awesome cover. Find her online at Lyle Mer and Nigel for being our generous art benefactor. Thank you, Dylan, for assistance with editing. You can find his podcast, Anime Out of Context, at animeoutofcontext.com. Congrats on your 300th episode.
God damn.
We're a little behind, but my apologies, but congrats on that. Thanks to Tucker and Maxie B for assistance with pronunciation, translation, and other miscellaneous research. You can find us on X as Shonen Flopcast, Tumblr, Shonen-Flop, and our website, shonenflop.com. We're also on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And as we've plugged a few times, come join the Shonen Flop Discord. It's open to everyone, patron or not. Hang out with us, talk about anime, games, whatever else is on your mind. Find a link to it in the show notes or on our site. And if you've been enjoying the podcast and want to help us keep going, consider subscribing to our Patreon. We wouldn't be able to keep the show running without their support. You get a ton of awesome perks. We've released like over 30 exclusive episodes covering manga that are too long. In fact, Jordan, what are we releasing in April for our listeners?
In April, we are dropping the final part of our coverage of the Ichinose family's Deadly Sins. I got it. Oh my God.
And this is the last time you'll have to plug it.
Yes. Oh my God. I've been struggling so hard to say that right.
Oh man. You could even be listening to our warm up audio, sitting in on the recordings, help us pick what's coming up next, or get episodes 2 days in advance. You can find us at patreon.com/shonenflop. And I want to give a shout out to our wonderful patrons. Starting with our dolphin dads, we have Glornak, Rachel, my wonderful wife. We had a fantastic time in DC. She is just a bundle of fun. And Sean won't compliment my jugs, but former Weeb's wife will play with them like bongos. Oh my.
Wow.
Moving on down to the ravioli tier, where you can actually get Magic the Gathering tokens of my dog. They came out fantastic. Print them out at Staples. Anyone who upgrades to the ravioli tier, anyone who becomes a patron, you know, fuck it. Anyone who upgrades becomes a ravioli or a ravioli patron. Yeah, you know what I mean. I'll send you a ravioli token. I'm sending Jordan to some. Brody, you want some ravioli dog tokens?
Heck yeah.
Oh man, I made a bunch. I even made an exclusive one that it's a treasure token that has a picture of my wife with ravioli.
Aww.
That's super exclusive because I only made one, so I'm the only one who possesses that token.
That is fine.
Yes.
You get to keep that.
We have Chris, Eva, Lady T, Matt T, and Trevor Schechner. Moving on down to the King of the Forest, we have 090Z, Bandit Stoof,
my girlfriend,
Chad Mason, Jacob Andrew Galloway, Justin Hefner, Kirby Mont, Marty, Max Baker, Riley 314, Sarah Hydra, who I just saw. I think my social security number just got compromised by that comment. T. Wolfwood, who is joining us right now. Thank you, T. Wolfwood, for supporting the show forever. And Tommy Boy. I also want to give a big thank you to our Galactic Ball Federation officers and our Beast Children.
Thank you so much. I love all of you. You are all my children.
Yep. And then, Jordan, I think you have something you want to talk about where you got to do an interview with Gary Oldman about vampires.
That's definitely it. I got to do an interview with Mark Schwartz, who played the character Nuke from the TV show Vampires, which my other podcast, Mission Ignition, is about. Yeah. So I now know things about that show that I don't think anybody else knows because nobody has really tried to dig into vampires. I wonder why. But no, it was great. It was so much fun to talk about him. There's Brody, for context, there is a character on this TV show Vampires who was credited as being played by himself, and there was a rumor for a long time that he was secretly Gary Oldman. I now have an answer to that. Please listen to it when it comes out. It's not out yet. But yes.
Definitely check it out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. So let's move into sign-offs.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. Tune in next Monday as we give our first thoughts on Takamagarahara. This has been David.
This has been Jordan.
And this has been Brody.
And you've been listening to Shonen Flop.
Keep on flopping, flopping!
Yeah! Bye!